The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
But yet, we need to recognize that God, no matter where we are, God is with us. God is a sustainer, and God is a keeper, and he's a mind regulator. And so every now and then you just need to just grab something in your spirit that helps to remind you that no matter what you're going through, that God is still good, God is still great, and God is still greatly to be praised. And so as we get ready to go before to hear from God, let us just bow our heads and let's just take a moment to remember the power of the Almighty God, to remember the preeminence of the Almighty God. Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus to say, Lord, we need you. And every now and then we just say yes to your will and yes to your way. Not everything might be going our way, but yes to your will and yes to your way. Father God, right now in the midst of this worship service, somebody is seeking to hear an answer from you. Somebody is seeking for healing. Somebody is seeking for financial breakthrough. Somebody needs you to step into the midst of their relationship. Somebody needs you to give them some hope right now. You woke us up, Lord, but somebody's trying to understand, why am I still here? Well, help us to know that there's a purpose. Everything, it's a purpose for everything under the sun. And so somebody needs to know that even you are loved by God. Even you are being kept by God. Even you are worth saving by God. Speak right now, Lord, to your children, to your people, even as I stand as your vessel, dear God. Speak to me and through me. As a matter of fact, Lord, I decrease that you would increase. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me that you might be seen. Silence me that you would be heard. Lord, if we ever needed a word before, surely we need a word right now. We need a word of help. We need a word of hope. We need a word of deliverance. We need a work of healing right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are a good God and you are greatly to be praised. And so right now, somebody has got to praise their way through some stuff. Praise your way through depression. Praise your way through oppression. Praise your way through suppression. Because we serve a God who can do anything but fail. And so, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God, for being better to us than we deserve. Oh, we love you. We thank you and we praise you. And it is truly in Jesus' name. And for Christ's sake that we pray. And let every heart say amen, amen, and amen. 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 We see a lot of images on the news, and if we're not careful, we will give somebody the impression that God is committing child abuse. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. That God is neglectful. But I'm grateful for this series because what it's doing is even waking some stuff up in me. Because it just might be that we got some spirits, we got some baggage on us that we're carrying around, and every now and then we got some stuff hanging around in our midst that we may have to loose and shake ourselves of. Again, to all of our guests and our visitors, God bless you and may God keep you is our hope and it is our prayer. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask you to do so. Go ahead and let I believe I just saw somebody come in. Let them in before we read the word of God. Amen. Amen. Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 is from whence the word of God is going to come. Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. However you indulge me, I want to read this from a couple of other translations. The New King James Version of the Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, From where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Those same verses from the NIV read, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, Where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. This time from the New Living Translation, it says, one day the members of the heavenly court, I'm going somewhere with this, came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Now, last week I introduced this passage of scripture in this series because it hit me, Deacon Griffith, that while there all of the emphasis should necessarily be on Job, these verses struck me because I wondered whether or not, and watch how it went, I wondered whether or not the brother angels, the sons of God, the heavenly court, when they had gone to present themselves before the Lord, I wonder if they were aware that Satan, come on somebody, was in their midst. The Bible doesn't, it's not that clear, but my inference is such that I wonder if they probably didn't know, because the Bible says that when the angels came, he didn't say angels. He didn't say heavenly court. He called out once, but he said, Satan, where have you come from? Amen. And I wondered if they were shocked to know that spirit was in their midst, that Satan was among them. So last week, we introduced this series, and we're going to conclude it today. When the Lord reveals the spirit of some folk in your midst, part two. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Do me a favor, turn to the person next to you and say, neighbor, every now and then the Lord will reveal the true spirit of some folk around you, and when he does, believe it. Every now and then, the Lord will reveal the true spirit of some folk around you, and when he does, believe it. The songs that were sung earlier, the messages that continue to come out, makes it crystal clear to us that mankind is in the midst of a spiritual war with the kingdom of God on one side and Satan and his demons on the other. Last week, I reminded us that there's a vicious battle being waged for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And it's being waged in the spirit realm. I mentioned that this battle is bigger than a whole lot of what's been filling up the airwaves prior to Hurricane Harvey. Amen. discussions and debates about monuments and statues. Come on, somebody. Kneeling or standing for the national anthem. The vicious clash that went on in Charlottesville, Virginia, between the vile white supremacists, the neo-Nazis, the KKK, and the other hate groups on one side, and the anti-racist group counter-protesters on the other side, etc., etc. My brothers and my sisters, these are all symptoms of a larger issue. And the larger issue is the fact that the devil is seeking to corrupt and destroy individual believers, churches, and even trying to corrupt entire nations. The devil's ultimate intention is to destroy the work of God and lead the whole world in rebellion against God. Text says here, it says that Satan's been roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth, to and fro. The New Living Translation said that he's patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Mentioned on last week how from the White House to the church house, at school, on your job, in your social circles, your network, etc., etc. The truth of the matter is, my brothers and my sisters, we have been slowful. We have been negligent, if you will, when it comes to upholding the precepts of the Word of God. And specifically, I'm talking about that one in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You see, we've been lulled to sleep. Come on, somebody. See, we've been given a little bit of freedom, and we don't know what to do with it. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it tells us, be sober, be vigilant, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, not that person next to you, not somebody that's a different color than you, not somebody that's a different denomination than you, but your enemy, the devil. Amen. He's the one that's prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for somebody to devour. That's why every now and then, the Lord, thank you, Lord, in his graciousness and his mercy, will reveal the true spirit of some folk that's hanging around you. Amen. It might shock you or even cause your feelings to be hurt. But when he does, believe it. From the fall of Adam to the advent of Christ, you must believe and understand that Satan has been given a dispensation to bind up the nations. I supported it in scripture. I brought up the fact in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. We talked about it last week. The Bible says it was granted to him to make war. We just talked about it. To make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. That's why, and we taught this on last week, that's why Satan was able to offer Christ the kingdoms of the world during the temptations in the wilderness found in Matthew chapter 4, 5 and 11, teaching here, Holy Ghost. Think about it. I brought about it last week. Things that make you go, Sister Graham. We've read Matthew chapter 4, 5 through 11 a number of times. We know that scene about the devil tempting Jesus, but what the Holy Spirit brought to me, that I brought to us last week, I said, think about this for a minute. Think about how Jesus did not correct Satan about his offer, teach, Holy Ghost. Mm-mm. He didn't correct him. All he merely did was refuse the offer. Because he knows what the scriptures say. He knows the devil is the god of this world. Satan is the god of this world. And yes, he does, my brothers and my sisters, greatly influence the actions of a whole lot of people. The problem is that we are spending way too much time trying to correct how people come at us instead of recognizing the spirit that might be at work. Amen, amen, amen. All you can do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, just reject the offer. Amen. Amen. When folk try to bait you in the frivolous arguments and fights, coming at you all crazy and incorrect, quit falling for that stuff. Just reject the offer. Sisters, I'm talking to you. Wait a minute. Single or married? Come on, somebody. When that man comes at you wrong and incorrectly, quit trying to get him to talk to you right. Quit trying to get him to act right. Quit trying to get him to treat you right. Just reject the offer. Amen. Brothers, you too. Woman talking crazy, acting crazy. You trying to straighten out. You know what we say, Jemima, I'll straighten out. Do me a favor. Just reject the offer. There's a spirit at work, and it's causing division, even in the midst of our households, communities, and even the church. And that's why every now and then, the Lord must reveal the true spirit of some folk around you. And when he does, believe it. If you're taking notes, write this down. I said, let God rather than your feelings rule your life. Amen. Amen. Trust God and not your feelings. Too many of us are so sensitive. We always talk about our feelings getting hurt, and there's a spirit at work. Amen. Let God rather than your feelings rule your life. So last week we began to discuss and reveal some of the strategies, some of the tactics that Satan uses to hinder the people of God in an effort to not only try to hinder them, but ultimately to harm the kingdom of God. So last week we named four of them, and I said that number one, the devil tempts. I'm not going to go through them. I said number two, he deceives. Number three, I said he's the counterfeiter. Number four, I said he distorts the word of God. And I gave examples and supported with scriptural references in support of each and every one of those. And so I want to encourage you that even if you were here, and if certainly if you were not, you want to pick that CD up and you want to hear that inductive study. I left off at he distorts the word of God, and I want to pick up there for this week. Tactics and strategies of the devil. So I said that he distorts the word of God, but this one I want to pick up today is I want to talk about how he steals the word of God. If he can't distort it, he's going to try to steal it. If he can't distort it, it's gotten to you now, so he's going to try to steal it. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 11 and 15, it says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. It says, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and those who have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away. Now, the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart and keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, Brother Lampkin, that text tells us that there are four responses to the word of God. I don't have to make it up. It's in the word of God. There's an unresponsive heart. There's an impulsive heart. There's a preoccupied heart. And there's a responsive heart. And guess what? All four come to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. Amen. There's an unresponsive heart. There's an impulsive heart. There's a preoccupied heart. Somebody say, ouch. And there's a responsive heart. Amen. Some of y'all want to know now what y'all going to put on the grill as soon as I get through. Come on, somebody. But the Bible says Jesus concludes, watch the text. Jesus concludes this parable with opportunities for growth. Verse 15 says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So you got to ask yourself, if you're like me, you're an inquisitive Bible reader. So you ask yourself, Brother Bell, why are people not responding to Jesus? And what's happening is people are not responding to Jesus, but instead of understanding the spirit that's at work, we try to mask it. So we try to switch up the order of service, switch up the music, switch up whether you can drink or not drink in the sanctuary. Switch up how we do a style, and there's a spirit at work. Why are people not responding to Jesus? Well, it just might be the work of the devil who has sown some doubt and some skepticism into some hearts. Thus, the word does not get a chance to change them. I don't care how much you change the carpet, the folk ain't changing. That's really the ultimate goal. Amen. Word of God is not getting in. But maybe, watch this. It could also be that there's a superficial response to the word of God, a response of emotionalism. And emotionalism, what happens is the word never sinks in deep and gets a hold of a person. But as soon as something difficult comes around, soon as something costly comes up to follow Jesus, that person gives up way too easy. Maybe the response is a preoccupation with materialism. Some folk want to be a Christian because they think it's going to get them something. Amen. Some folks say, I want to come to Christ because I found out that if I come to Christ, I might just get rich. Give me some of that holy water. You say, if I buy some holy water, I get a check in the mail. Amen. They're preoccupied with materialism. But there are some, the Bible says, that actually who make Jesus a priority. And you got to ask yourself that question, why do they respond versus the people who don't? And the explanation for why some become devout followers of Jesus and others do not might just be because of the fact that we need to understand it's not a deficiency in Jesus. It's not a deficiency in Jesus, and it's not a deficiency in the seed. But it has everything to do with the soil. And the soil, of course, is what? Our heart. The devil, through the world, and our sin nature conspires to get us to quit being obedient followers of Christ. Probably every good gift in your life is a result of your perseverance. Amen. Fruit, if you're taking notes, fruit is the outcome of something. If you obey God's words and if you persist in God's word, the promise is fruit in your life. Some love, some joy, some peace, some patience, some goodness, some kindness, some faithfulness, and some gentleness. And the final one is some self-control. Amen. Satan and sin would do any and everything within their power to stop that from happening. But thanks be unto God. When he reveals to us those times and even those people who are trying to hinder our growth. Next thing I want to show you. So not only does he steal the word, if he can't steal it, what he'll try to do next is he'll deny the authority of the scriptures. My God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teach us. The basic false doctrine that Satan propagates is the denial of the authority of the scriptures. We talked about that last week. Genesis chapter 3, went back to the garden. Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 6. You know, the question, Satan is whispering in all of our ears. We still stuck on Eve. We still stuck on what Eve did or didn't do. Now, the devil is still there. It's still hisses of the devil. And every now and then, he get the psst, psst. And what the devil is asking, he asked then and he's asking now, did God really say? Amen. Did God really say? I know what you believe and I know what he said in the word, but did God really say that he would keep you, that he would never forsake you, that he would heal your body? That becomes that distortion and that denying the authority of scripture. One of the biggest ways that he denies the authority of scripture is this next point, is he then denies the deity of Christ. Teaching this house. Denies the deity of Christ. 1 John chapter 4, 2 through 3 says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, watch this, and is now already in the world. Amen. We got to know what the scripture says. Bigger than this stuff. Don't get me wrong. All of this stuff going on is important. But we got to see what is really going on and what spirit is at work. He steals the word. He seeks to deny the authority of the scriptures. He tries to deny the deity of Christ. And then here's another one. He promotes idol worship. The worship of idols is the worship of demons, because demons impersonate idols. Satan and his demonic forces work very hard at luring the people who claim to follow Christ to actually practice idolatry. Now, how can this happen? Well, it can happen openly by getting folk to practice pagan rituals, or it could be subtle by getting a person to place their self-centered agendas and goals at a higher priority than God. The idol itself, whether it's a person, place, or thing, hear me today, the idol itself, person, place, or thing, is nothing. But behind the idol or behind the idolatrous practice is a demonic opportunity to establish control over every individual. Do you know anybody that's been overtaken by some stuff that's got a demonic control over their mind, their body, and their spirit? Is there anybody? And listen, not everybody is hooked on heroin. Some folk are hooked in the wrong relationship. Some folk are hooked in them jobs that they feel like they can't leave. Some folk are hooked on this idea of promotion and prosperity and materialism, but that becomes idolatrous. You gotta understand, this is something to establish control over an individual. And it controls and it overtakes them. And before they know it, folk are doing some stuff that they didn't even think that they would ever do. Folk are staying in some situations that they didn't even think that they would stay in. Psalm 106, 36 through 38 says, they served the idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Does that sound familiar? Does that Old Testament scripture sound familiar? Do we live in a society that seems to be sacrificing its sons and daughters? That seems to be shedding innocent blood? Does that sound familiar to where the land is polluted with the blood? Those have been sacrificed. Do you know of anybody who will go to any length just to get a hit? Will go through any length just to get that whatever it is to satisfy whatever it is that they're worshiping. Amen. Fortunately, my brothers and my sisters, we need to wake up to what's really going on in our society. And they're sending us down the wrong paths. And thanks be to God that he's revealing some spirits in our midst. And unfortunately, we're shocked to know that we work with them. We're shocked to know that they're in our families. We're shocked to know that they go to our churches. We're shocked to know that they claim to be so-called Christians. And God has said, we have gotten so duped to a form of religiosity that just because they carry a Bible and sit on the pew does not mean that they are one of mine. There's another spirit at work. So we come and we gather together, whether on Sunday, on Monday, or whatever it is. And all of a sudden, it says, the Bible said, and Satan came along with them. But you better thank God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Because we done got hooked up in business with some folk. He said, that ain't the one I need you to be hooked up with. Amen. And understand, even to those who seek in marriage, the Bible says that let that which God has put together, let no man take asunder. Not everybody gets married in church, God put together. All that got put together was a good wedding. Amen. A whole lot of wedding organizers. Amen. We better make sure. And you better thank God. Some folk, even them J-O-Bs, we thought there were some jobs we thought we were supposed to have and get, and you didn't get it, and we went off. And then we figured out that the job went off and it's no longer there. And you say, thank you, Jesus. You saying that now. You mad because he didn't call you back? She didn't answer your text? And all of a sudden, you throwing an attitude trying to correct folk to come at you correct. And God said, I'm trying to reveal a spirit that you don't need to be with. That's what's happening right now. It's what's happening right now in society. God is revealing some stuff. And I don't care how it sounds, whether it's on a teleprompter or on telegraph. Come on, somebody. What happens is what's in your heart. And don't y'all be shocked when stuff comes out that's in people's heart. Amen. So I get ready to close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18 says, therefore, we wanted to come to you, even our Paul, time and time again, but Satan hindered us. My brothers and my sisters, if you are a Christian who seeks God with your whole heart, you need to know that you're a target. Amen. If you hunger after the Lord, if you are determined to seek him with your whole heart, setting to your soul, mind, body, and soul, to obey God, to obey his word, you will continually be a target, watch this, of Satan's envy. Yeah, he's the enemy, but you will be the target of Satan's envy. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, scripture tells us that Lucifer has been cast down from heaven out of the glory of God's presence. And ever since then, the devil cannot endure the thought that anybody lesser than himself could taste anything of paradise. He is totally envious of anybody who is blessed to behold what he has lost for eternity. Some Christians actually think and believe, Griffith, that we shouldn't even mention Satan's name, that this will somehow glorify him. But the Bible makes it crystal clear, that is, if we read and study it, that if we are taught about the enemy's devices, we have no reason to fear the devil. Indeed, we're actually told that in these last days, Satan has come on earth with great wrath, so we had better know his strategies. Indeed, Satan will sometimes use his demonic powers and forces and find somebody or some people to say or do hurtful, damaging things to us, whether they do it boldly or subtly. All of this is an attempt to shake our faith. And even hear me today, from the pulpit to the door, even the godliest of believers are not immune to these kinds of attacks. My brothers and my sisters, this is all a distraction. Satan's entire strategy is to get you to take your eyes off the victory of the cross. He wants to turn your focus onto your weaknesses, your sins, your shortcomings, your mistakes, and that's why he's turned up the heat of your present problems and your present sufferings. He wants to make you believe that you aren't strong enough to go on. That's what he's trying to get us to think. That's what he's trying to get us to believe, that you're not strong enough to go on. But we always say it's not about us and it's all about him until we're going through something. And then all of a sudden, it's all about us because nothing else matters except what we are going through. But I need to let you know that it's not your strength. Your strength is not the point. It's Jesus' strength, his strength and his power that's already in you. That is, if you are a child of God. Amen. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" He'd been called out. So Satan answered and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it." As I get ready to take my seat, what spirit is or what spirits are the Lord revealing in your midst? that you might have to leave behind, or watch this, leave alone. In order for you to move forward and make some progress in your life. We are stuck in conversations that the Lord said, it's time to move on. We are stuck in mindsets that the Lord said, it's time to move on. Some of us are even stuck in the past, and God has said, it's time to move on. We need to know the difference between condemnation and conviction. The devil wants to condemn us, but right now the Holy Spirit might be trying to convict us. And the conviction is we are thinking too low. We are walking too low. We are believing not as we should. So every now and then, because we done got comfortable, and every now and then, the Lord will reveal the true spirit of some folk around you. And when he does, believe it. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.